Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Zechariah chapter 4. In verse 5, the angel who talked with me answered me and said, and by the way, this angel had just shown Zechariah a big old lampstand and two olive trees on either side of the lampstand. And he said to me, "Do you know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone which shouts of grace, grace to it." The angel did not actually answer Zechariah's question. What are these? And then he said, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit. And then he told him about grace. Why did he do that? Because it didn't really matter so much what they are. The detail of it was not that important. What was important is that everything that you approach, it's not by your might and it's not by your power. It's not by your ability. It's by the Spirit of God. And whatever mountain happens to be in your life, whatever seems like a mountain, you shout grace toward the mountain. What does that mean? Shout grace toward the mountain. You go over the mountain with grace. Let's say that you have a circumstance that's just too much for you. It's overwhelming. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's negative, but it can be. It doesn't have to be. But whatever that circumstance is, it's just too much for you. Maybe you are given a task at school and you have no idea, or maybe at work someday you'll have to face a situation, maybe so much responsibility, you feel like you just cannot deal with this. It can be in relationships. Some relationships are easy, some are hard. And you say to yourself, I just can't deal with this. The reason why people feel they can't deal with something is because they're trying by their own might and their own power. They're saying, I don't have the ability. And God is saying here, you're right. You don't have the ability. But it's not by your ability that you handle things. It's by the grace of God that you handle things. Now, the grace of God is not just some pie-in-the-sky idea. The grace of God is one of the most important provisions that God has given us. The grace of God is real, it's practical, it's effective, and it's very powerful. The provision that you have in grace far goes beyond whatever lack of ability you may have in yourself. But then, it's not by might, and it's not by power. It's by the Spirit of God who leads you to the grace of God. The Holy Spirit will always guide you in all truth. He'll give you wisdom, He'll give you discernment. Discernment means He'll give you understanding into things that aren't necessarily obvious. He'll reveal things to you. He'll show you what things are. He'll show you what needs to be done. All you need to do is ask Him. That's how you deal with it. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul said, when he was crying out to God because a demon was attacking him. Now, we don't know the nature of the attack. I'm not talking about a physical attack. I'm talking about an attack against his mind, against his thinking. And a demon was plaguing him. So he cried out to God, and God answered him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, in my weaknesses." Do you ever boast in the things that give you a hard time? You ever get excited about a hard time? Do you ever get excited about not being able? Well, Paul said, I get excited about it. Strange, isn't it? Well, then he explains why. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul recognized what Zechariah was saying. It's not by might and it's not by power. It's by my spirit. When I get into a situation that's too much for me, all that means is it's easy for me to rely on the Spirit of God, not trying to do it on my own. The fact of the matter is, we can't do anything on our own. We're dust. God allows us to think because He gave us a brain to think with, and He gives us His mind to give us the substance of our thoughts, the basis for our thoughts. I can't even think without God. I can't breathe without Him because He breathed into us the breath of life. What am I going to do without God? There's really nothing that I can do in any effective measure without Him. Even if it seems like I can, He's still the one behind me giving me the ability. He's still the one in there that's giving me the wisdom or the knowledge or the know-how or even the brains to do it with. Even unbelievers can't do anything without God. If God didn't give them the ability that they have in their mind, let's say a non-believing doctor would never become a doctor. It's by the grace of God alone that they are a doctor. Everything you have, everything you face, everything you deal with, just everything, it's all grace. Never try to deal with anything outside of grace. Never try to figure it out in your own wisdom. Never try to do it in your own ability. Never rely on your own strength. Those things are very deceptive. But always trust the grace of God. Remember that. This is a big lesson. Some people learn it, some people don't. The people who learn it have a much better life than the people who don't. Always trust the grace of God. Always trust the grace of God. In John 1:16, grace and truth came by Christ. The law was given by Moses. When John was written, they were under the law. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the law, the religious ideas were not really anything to rely on because those are things that people try to do in order to be right with God. And God says, the only way you can be right with me is by faith. It's not by doing. It's not by your ability. It's not by how much you know. It's not by anything. It's not how smart you are. None of that is worth anything. As far as being right with God goes, it's only by faith. In Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But by faith, Jesus said we can move mountains. Faith is important in this because the just live by faith in Romans 1:17. The righteousness of God is revealed from one measure of faith to another measure of faith. In other words, I grow in faith. I grow in the grace and the knowledge of God means that I'm growing in faith. Faith comes by hearing, which gives me knowledge. And then growing in grace comes because I'm growing in faith. In Romans 4:16, it must be of faith that it may be of grace. And then in Romans 5:2, we enter into grace by faith. It's not like grace is going to come down and drop on my head. Now, grace is there already. Grace is already available to you in all the abundance that God gives. And that's a lot of abundance. Grace is available to you for everything. Grace is available for every circumstance. There is never an end to grace. It's there for you. It's for you to use. It's for you to enjoy. It's for you to be protected by. It's for you to use when you're having good times and when you're having bad times. If you did things right, there's grace. If you did things wrong, there is grace. If you're strong as an ox one day and weak as a kitten the next day, there's grace. There's always grace. Now, the grace of God in 1 Corinthians 15:10 causes you to be who you are. That's the only thing that will work for you is grace. Even if you don't acknowledge it, even if you don't know it, it's still true. By the grace of God, you are who you are. Grace will develop you into all God has for you. Now, there's three parts to grace. Sometimes we talk about grace, and it's kind of vague. It's kind of not clear. Okay, grace, but really, what is grace? And if you don't know what grace is, then this is going to be really kind of hard to understand how this can be practical. But grace is incredibly practical. Grace has three parts. I want you guys to remember this. Because if you don't know that grace has three parts, grace won't work for you sometimes. Or at least you think it won't. You won't know how to approach it, is really the problem. First of all, in Ephesians 2:8, grace is a gift from God. That means you don't have to earn it. That means you don't have to deserve it. It is freely given. It's a gift. There's no deserving. There's no what we call merit, which is basically earning it. You don't have to do anything to earn grace. It is freely given by God to whoever will receive it. It is a gift. Second of all, in Ephesians 2:7, it's the kindness of God. God is incredibly kind. If there's one thing you should always know about God, is that He is incredibly kind. People might not be kind. God will always be kind. People may leave you, God will never leave you. People may criticize you, God will never criticize you. People may judge you or condemn you, God will never judge you and He will never condemn you. People may be nice to you or they may not, God will always be kind. That will never change. God is incredibly kind. If you want to take away one characteristic of God, and that's the only way you know Him, let it be His kindness. But His kindness is grace. So grace is a gift. It's freely given, and it's His kindness. God freely gives kindness. Nobody has to earn the kindness of God. Nobody has to work for it. Nobody can deserve the kindness of God. Why? We're dust. You go to your house, you see dust, you pull out the vacuum cleaner, you get rid of it. God has no vacuum cleaner. He will never get rid of the dust. No matter how bad the dust gets, He will never get rid of the dust. He's incredibly kind. The third thing is, in Hebrews 4:16, grace is a government. And this is the part of grace that a lot of people forget. People like the gift that you don't deserve. Some people think that's all there is to grace. And then when they get into a situation where they don't know what to do, they say, well, grace isn't working for me here. No, grace will work for you, you just don't know what to do with it. Grace is a government. It's the government of God in the believer's life. And that government is based on all that Christ did. It started out with the crucifixion. What's the first thing in history? The crucifixion. Sometimes we think the crucifixion was 2,000 years ago. What do you mean? That's only if you look at time in the wrong way. Einstein showed us that time is not a line. Our experience of time is like a line. But time itself is not a line. The crucifixion came first. Sometimes people want to know, where is the center of the universe? A lot of scientists ask, what is the center of the universe? And they try to look out into the universe and try to find the center. Good luck with that. The center of the universe is not found in a place. The center of the universe is found in a time. By the way, space and time are the same thing. The cross was the center of the universe. In Revelation 13:8, the entire universe was built on the cross and the events of the cross. That's what it all starts with. That's where the government of God starts with. The cross was the greatest implementation of the love of God. And so the whole thing starts with God expressing love. And that's where grace comes from. Grace comes from the love of God. So the government of God is based on the cross, and its great expression is the love of God. That's why God is merciful. That's why God is gentle. That's why God is kind. Because these are the expressions of the love of God. The cross was the greatest of those expressions, and the government of God is based on the cross. And so, in the government of God, it's never about me. When it's about me, I know that I'm outside of the government of God. However, in the government of God, it is about the love of God being expressed toward you. Not about you, about the love of God toward you. And so, the government of God will always find a way to be kind to you. The government of God will always find a way to help you. The government of God will always find a way to protect you. The government of God will always find a way to provide your needs. Not always your wants, because our wants aren't always the greatest thing. Sometimes, but not always. But He will always find a way to provide what you need. The government of God will always give you wisdom and guidance and direction. And if you want to know how to live in the government of God on a practical day-to-day basis so you can be aware of it, you go to the Word of God and you respond to it in faith, and then you get to have the awareness of the government of God and what the government is doing. Now, even if you don't have that, the government of God will work for you. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. It doesn't say anything about the righteous knowing one thing or another. It's still a gift. The government of God is a gift. It's not something you have to work to get into. You don't have to apply for citizenship there. You don't have to cross any borders. It's a gift. It's extremely kind. And it will always find a way to take care of you no matter what the need is. If it's kindness, it's going to give you kindness. If you need mercy, it will give you mercy. If you need $100,000, it'll give you $100,000. Whatever the need is, the government of God will find a way to give it to you. Always trust grace. The great deception where people make a mistake is they think that there's something that they can trust outside of grace. Grace is the only thing we can trust. But grace is everything. It's not like, oh, there's all these other things and the one thing I can trust is grace. No, there's grace and there's nothing else. Everything else is just an illusion. It's all grace. Everything in our life is grace. Grace comes from God. You can trust it to take care of you. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.